I'm trying to learn Paul's part of Sound of Silence, and then Margaret's going to learn Art's part, and we're going to sing it for my mom while she's in rehab. She's upgraded from emergency room to residency in the hospital to now she's going to rehab.
Oh man, so. they tried to make her go to rehab.
Yeah. But she said yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
she was a little resistant at first, actually, but now she realizes that it's good for her. So
it's yeah. Speaking of rehab, I fucking did it, Brendan.
What'd you do? Tell me what you did.
Started reading Complex PTSD,
bro. That was not where I was expecting you to go. What? great. What have you heard? What have you learned? What prompted it? What, besides me.
Today's session with my guy.
Yeah.
And he used the T word, and we had a fun little discussion about, like, there's a TV series on Netflix called The Four Seasons. And there's a moment between a father and a daughter, and a father sort of is describing how he was ill-treated by one of his parents. And the daughter said, "Dad, that's trauma." And he just looks at her kind of lovingly and just says, "No, everything's trauma." And it was sort of, and it was like, I'm not closing the door to you know, but also, you know, we're mindfully sort of aware of the territory that we're in here.
Yeah.
But enough where I'm like, I know this. There's stuff that needs unpicking. And so as I was finishing up, as I was walking back home to my bus, I just like pulled out my phone and was like, yeah, let's do it. Started the book, audio book. And what 4F type are you, Brendan?
I am a fawn type.
Of course you are. Fawn, yeah. Game recognized game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I think that, yeah. I wonder if nines often go to fawn. I don't know if that's a thing, but also, yeah, just Enneagram aside, like it's just definitely, I can see that in you as well.
I don't know how you felt going in, but for me, I have a, like, I don't know if defensive is the right word, but like someone who would ascribe CPTSD to me would say you are minimizing. So if we accept the fact that I have CPSD, which I'm never going to get those fucking letters in the right order.
CPTSD.
Complex PSD is easier to say than CPTSD. If we accept that I have that,
yeah,
then the challenge I have is I'm minimizing because I don't know that I can own that badge. However, one of the things that I, you know, can own is the difficulties I've had as a person with particular needs. The best way I can put it is I think there were attempts to fix the stuff rather than like let's be with it. And you know, for God's sake, my parents took me to Lourdes, which I don't know if that is something you with which you're familiar. It is a place where I believe the Virgin Mary was supposed to have appeared.
Okay.
So it's like a holy bullshit place, and people go and they wash people in the made up water. Sure. And the water's real.
Okay.
Yeah, the water's real, but yeah. They wash them in the stuff. And it's supposed to cure people of stuff. So, you know, we had that. That was a thing that happened.
And it didn't cure you.
And it no. And then I was going to say
Virgin
sent back,
Mary's
and that's not
water
fair.
Fail.
But I went back. I was given the opportunity to go again because I don't remember the first time because I was a little baby toddler or a little actual baby. But I went again when I was in eight, something like that, 8 or 9, with like a group of, I mean, by all sort of, we would call them kids now who were the, you know, adult carers, but like by both of our like age definitions, we'd probably be like, I could be your dad. But they were our designated grown-ups. So it was no parents. It was all, you know, bunch of disabled kids. and you know, these designated adults. My designated adult was kind of like boring and not great. He was, you know, he was fine. But so I met a lad called Kenneth, and his designated carer was a right Olaf. He had a big old red birthmark on his face, and he was fun and kind and enjoyable to be around. And so he was our guy. And then the other guy, I think, was just like, well, Mark doesn't want me. So, yeah, because you were boring and you sucked. So he probably just like hung about and did other stuff. And it's like, I realize now, it's like, yeah, they were probably like, I don't know, mid 20s or something. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of just barely out of being kids themselves, I would imagine. Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the god water didn't do anything. So yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's hard because I have this defense mechanism that wants to say, well, you know, you were happy, you had great things, and you know, you got to go on really nice holidays, and you know, you had a roof over your head, you weren't neglected, and various things. And then I had this little moment I was playing out, going, yeah, apart from the holidays and a few things, like the rest of it is just like the baseline. of what you would expect. Do you remember that? What was the film we watched with Jude Law? And he's complaining about how hard done by he is. And he's in a taxi. And he gets thrown out by the taxi driver because he's such a bell end. And the guy's like, I never hit my kids. I always gave them 3 square meals a day. And I always made sure they had a roof over their head. And the taxi driver's like, dude, that's the bare minimum.
Yep.
That doesn't make you a good dad. It makes you a dad.
Yep, exactly. The Holiday, I think, is what the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
No, that's not. No. I'm joking.
No.
Yeah.
It was Jude Law, though, wasn't it?
It was Elder
Jude Law.
Yeah. I recall.
It was a manor house or something, and it might have been called like the house. It wasn't called the house, but it was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, I went through the same process.
I wondered if that was the case.
Yeah, of thinking, yeah, things were good enough. Things were fine. And yeah, I didn't have this big abuse or this huge trauma or this crazy circumstance. So why?
What have you got to worry about? Yeah.
Turns out there's actually a lot of things that, you know, micro tears and even big things that we minimize and all that. So yeah, I feel you, man. I feel you very much.
Yeah. So, we're on that train now.
I'm happy for you. How did the therapy session go?
Yeah, it was good. It was initially, so I was kind of, it kind of went around a few places and some of the things that I find very difficult is I tend to use the phrase my family.
Okay.
And I'm almost always exclusively referring to one person, but there's something, you know, again, I feel. You might identify with that.
I get that.
Yeah. And also, like, I guess, I don't want to be talking shit about real people on the internet. That aside, so there is a person in my life who, and I can't imagine how this has had any impact on me whatsoever, is quite obsessed with who's put on weight and who's lost weight and who's lost weight but you can't tell and who's looking healthy and who's looking great. And I was thinking about that yesterday and just thinking about the conversation I might like to have at some point to be like, hey, what would it be like if you didn't do that? If you kept your opinion to yourself on people's weight? And furthermore, what would it be like if you didn't equate weight loss with achievement and goodness as a human being?
Yeah.
And validation. What would it be if those things happened? So, yeah. Yeah, there's some stuff.
No, I get that, man. I gotta say, though, I don't think I've lived with that much critique, the external critique. Definitely from my ex-wife, but
I don't recommend it. I do not recommend
it. No.
Hypervigilance.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, it's like one of the things listed in the complex PTSD version of You Might Be a Redneck, where it's listing all these different things, and you might be a type 4 or a 4, whatever, yeah, a fawn yeah. type, is like, you know, the self-forgetting. And
yeah.
one of the things that I'm sort of realizing today is like, I kind of grew up not really being able to express myself and express who I was, and sort of, you know, because that was always labeled as oversensitive or, you know, yeah. or ridiculed in other ways. And,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, then you learn to, oh, okay, I should be the version of myself that is most acceptable, or least egregious.
Yep.
Yeah.
I relate to that as well.
Mm-hmm. So well done to you for being streets ahead in this work. Not then. Well, you can accept that you're ahead. I'm not saying you've sure. you're finished. I'm not saying you've completed the game.
No, for sure, but, for sure not. And I didn't yeah. think you were implying that. But also, like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm that far ahead. Like, sure, I worked on that area, and you've worked on other areas, and like,
yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm stepping back broadly. I don't feel like I'm ahead in any way. I'm just making my way. Oh,
in the
boy.
World.
Mm-hmm. Constant new traumas as we're trying to process the old traumas, and a little tangent.
Yeah, please.
I just you mentioned the funny guy had a birthmark on his face, and it just made me wonder, like, what's up with birthmarks? Like, what is that? What like chemically or biologically is happening there?
Incorrect distribution of melatonin.
That seems plausible.
Yeah, like a spillage. Yeah, I mean, there's and some of them, like, you see some of them that look a lot more like, there's an actor who is, I think she was in, yes, she was in, did you ever watch the series called Loudermilk?
No, not yet.
It's great.
Got it on my list. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a bit of a sleeper. Like,
is it Ron Livingston?
Sure. I don't think I knew anyone who was in it apart from Brian Regan.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, he's great in it, and he swears as well. Yeah, he's like he's kind of a bit of a shitheel to begin with, and then you become more sympathetic with him. It's one of Brian Regan's daughters, I think. And yeah, she's just, she's an actor, like, making her way in the world, just doing stuff, but she's got a big old birthmark. And, you know, it's one of those things where you just go, it's never referenced in the show. It's not a thing. It's just like,
yeah,
there's an actor and she's definitely got a birthmark. What up with that? There
what
they are.
What up with that? I was thinking, like, oh, I should come in with another topic. And then I was just like, wait, is that my job? Yeah. Like, we're just having a conversation.
No. Yeah.
And also don't really have any good topics.
No, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that is the case, and I think it's fine that we can just sit here and be one with the oneness.
We can just be with our
with
Marcus Fine.
And with dear listener, that is currently my I started off due to technology issues raging, and so I think I entered my name in our recording app as Mark Stedman is grumpy, and then once I sort of resolved the issues, I was like, Mark is fine.
Mark is fine.
Yeah.
I just passed 2,000 streams on my on my song.
Oh, and I played that earlier on Belinda.
Oh, cool.
So, dear listener, Belinda is my new baritone ukulele. So she plays a little bit like a guitar. Well, she plays exactly like a guitar without the bottom two strings. And so I was able to play Get Better, and it was great.
That's why you can play an F, because you don't have to worry about the two bottom strings. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Or probably the strings are softer too. So it is.
It's the strings being softer, and yeah, it's getting a bar, because you don't technically have to play the F with a bar when you play the uke, but it's just less fiddly.
Yeah, for sure.
And if I press the uke real tight against my chest, I can get it. And so, you know, a little bit more exercise, a little bit more muscle stuff, get back into the groove of that one. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bought it was I was at a thing on Sunday. I was invited to just sit and sing with some people.
Cool.
I knew one and a half of them. Like, I knew one of them, and then the other one I sort of knew a tiny little bit. I'd met him once. Uh-huh. And, like, look at me being all out in the world. Like, meeting strangers, man, and it being fine. And, like, I nearly didn't go because I was tired. And I was like, I know myself enough to know that if I go, I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I had enough to be like, just go.
Just go.
And I did, and it was great. And the person I know didn't turn up until, like, an hour in. And it was absolutely fine. Like, it was just... Awesome. It was really lovely. And so I discovered, I went from not being aware of the existence of a baritone ukulele to purchasing one within the space of like 45 minutes.
Did somebody else have one and they were playing it?
Or no, I think someone else might have had they couldn't have had a bass. Something. In fact, I might have just said to someone, because I think I had it in my head that I've heard of like guitar lelis. Guitarra lely, however you say it. And so I think I was just kind of just like asking around, is that a thing? And someone said, well, a baritone uke is like a uke but an octave down or whatever. And I thought, actually, that would be lovely because, you know, the uke's fine, but it's also a little bit kind of, you know.
Honestly, I heard somebody, I was going swimming and there was somebody on the beach that was playing the uke and I was just like, well, especially from a distance, mm-hmm. but even like well-recorded ukulele, to me, it just always sounds like they're playing the exact same thing. It's just, there's no note changing. There's no anything. It's just the uke sound.
Yes.
Like, that's all I hear.
I think part of that might be because it is easier to learn than the guitar. And so I think people probably get to a stage where they're like, they can strum enough to do the up, up, down, up, down. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and play a few sort of basic notes. So that's probably why it all sounds the same, because they all just learn the same method. Yeah. But I have heard someone play, like, because you can pick on them, especially with a baritone anyway. You can pick on them,
they're nice.
You can pick, and you can get some nice kind of sounds that way. What's the name of the picking method? You'll probably know it. There is a sort of country style picking method where you sort of do like string two, string four, string one, string three, and that as a repetition.
Finger picking?
Well, it is a method of finger picking.
Okay.
There is a subtype. It's fine. But yeah, you could,
My sister talked to me a little bit.
Oh my God. Yes. So you are going to be seeing her more today, aren't you?
Yeah. After this, I'm going to go see her for the first time in a long time. I don't know how long. And I'm going to see Owen.
How are you feeling about all of this?
Yeah. And get some hangout time with Owen, which will be really great. Since my mom's getting transferred and my sister doesn't want to deal with having to manage a four-year-old who doesn't really like to wait around in a hospital room for who knows how long.
No, they famously don't.
It sounds boring. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with him yet, but we'll just hang out and talk and have fun. And also, she would like, while she's here in Oregon, she would like for me to take Owen, babysit, you know, go do stuff, which is great.
And yes, it is.
I have a couple great plans for things that we can do together. One of them being going to Enchanted Forest, which is our local amusement park. It was built by one guy and his family, and it is just this magical little oasis in a forest, and it's like he didn't want to license anything, so it's all like out of copyright stuff that he, like Alice in Wonderland and the Three Bears and the Old Lady in a Shoe, like mm-hmm. all the rides are based off of these like fairy tales, and it is just the cutest, just most, it's like super homemade but also really pro, like really slick. And it's super fun. So you go like through this first area and it's just like all this old school. It's like everything is made out of cement. It is like, they're like permanent structures.
Yeah.
they'll way outlive him. And he's like 95 now, and he's still doing good. When he was like in his late 80s, he was still on the property, working on the property. It was crazy.
What a dude.
And now they've expanded it, and he expanded it to include a Western town. And it's really cute because it has like the main drag of a Western town with the storefronts and everything. And you can walk by and there's a jail and the sheriff's in there with a couple like guys in jail. And there's like sign, you know, wanted posters and stuff. And every little poster, every little sign it has is written up, and it's so cute on theme, and it's just adorable. There's like a dentist. I think it's U.B.Hurton. The name of it, and there's like all these really scary kind of looking drills and pliers and stuff in there. It's actually kind of a horror show. And there's
incidentally, do you know why a barber pole is red and white?
Oh, I don't. It was something about the blood, right? It's something about the
blood and bandages.
Yeah, to signify
blood and bandages.
Like, cool. Yeah, please bring that razor right next to my neck. Thank you.
You be hurting.
And they've also added a European town, European village, and then also now they also have a few roller coasters, a few like nice rides. There's three main rides. One like legit roller coaster that they built themselves and is so freaking cool.
Wow.
The carts, there's three carts that can fit up to two people per cart, and it's in one single train. There's only one train, and they have a plastic lid canopy thing, you know, like a clear cover for the thing, so you can't bounce out. So there's no like seatbelts or anything, but you are encapsulated in this cart. Okay. And it goes. Like they're not holding back on the turns and the corners, and there's no loops, but it's a great ride and really adrenalizing. And then they have a log ride, which was freaking dope. And I've been on log rides before, but I can't remember too many of them. But this one had not only a couple water drops, like where you're just in this long water pool that's like slowly going down, and then it like tips down to a thing and you splash and great, and then it keeps going. And in the middle, your log just starts going on these metal rails, and there's no water, and you just gliding down like these greased metal rails, and you're not buckled into the log. The log is not like held on to the rails by anything but gravity. And it just goes down and back up, and it feels like you're gonna fly out of the thing, but thankfully you don't. And it was such a thrill. Anyways,
excited. Yeah, I assume these are the things of which you sent some videos.
Yes, I did.
Because I thought it would be weird if that was like a whole different thing that you'd gone to.
That was a whole different place.
They look super cool. Because I was wondering about that like enclosed like hamster wheel looking thing.
Yep.
I thought that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I was trying to like on the video, I was like pointing back to the cart behind me because Margaret was back in there. I was trying to see if I could get her in there, but I couldn't. It couldn't really focus on that. Super fun. Super, super fun. Can't wait to take Owen. And we'll see. I think Margaret's going to be busy because Margaret is currently in Montessori teacher training, and she's doing her immersion classes right now. So for the next month, she'll be hardcore working in person and then going and doing homework. And then so she leaves at like 8 in the morning, gets home at 8 at night or more than that. Anyways, so I don't really see her except on the weekends anymore. But hopefully, maybe Jessica and Owen together could come with me to the theme park, and that'd be really fun. There's also a cool arcade that has like bumper cars and mini golf and laser tag and other stuff. That would be cool to take them to. That's probably too old for a 4-year-old. They'd like mini golf.
Mini golf. Is it like crazy golf?
I don't know.
What's the difference? In like
it's not neon.
No, as in the like, so with the golf courses having like a windmill and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and you've got to pop the, you've got to get it through the windmill, or there's like a, you know,
there are, yeah, little, there are, yeah. I think traps, there are penalties, yeah. Like they're all automated things that kind of obscure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fun.
I haven't been there in a while, so I think it's pretty mild, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Laser tag might be a bit much.
Laser tag's a bit much. I don't think he would even be able to wear the vest.
No. And the rides, I'm guessing, might be a bit much, but
Yeah,
man, that's a fun day out.
Yeah.
That's what and that is.
My sister also said that she's willing to talk to me about clearing the air, which is surprising and wonderful.
We get some growth happening.
Yeah. Could be. My mom really wants it.
Yeah,
she's mentioned that many times, that it would be something that she would really like to see before she dies, is that we kind of reconnect. She mentioned that the last time, she's hesitant because the last time we talked, it went sideways for her and doesn't want to repeat that. And, you know, I try to let her know. I'm not holding any surprises. There's no ill will. I'm just trying to connect with you. So I don't think that there should be any sideways action, but we'll see.
I wish you all the luck with that, because that sounds difficult, but worthwhile.
I'm not really exactly sure. Like, I know I want to listen, and I know I want to apologize to her for some stuff that I understand that she's really hurting about, but otherwise I don't really know how it's going to go.
One of the most useful things, and I know this is up your street, and it's silly where it comes from, but like, I remember Dan Harmon, I guess he has probably had lots to apologize for in his life. He talked about the anatomy of an apology.
Yeah.
And I've deployed that.
Me too.
To great effect.
Mm.
Because if you deploy it from, because I think you, well, in order for you to deploy it, it has to be genuine, because the first part is acknowledging what you actually did, and then, you know, the second part, how it made the person feel,
right?
And then committing to change. So, like, unless you're a sociopath, even then, I'm not sure. Like, you've got to sort of, that's got to be genuine, and that's probably why it works. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like, I don't know, that it's just like it just works, because
it's real.
It's real, and it uses empathy. And yeah, and actually, on the listening thing, I was recounting to my guy today a story that I think I've touched upon here, or we may have discussed in private, where I had to go and have a conversation with a family member who was upset at me. That's how the message was delivered, that they were upset at me, that I had upset them. And what I did, you know, which resolved the you know, the tension, cleared the air, was to just sit down with them and say, you talk, like, you, I'm not going to defend myself. You talk, you tell me how you're hurt, you know. And, you know, they started off by sort of justifying their position and saying, well, I know. And it's like, no, you don't have to, like, I'm not asking you to justify. You tell me how you felt. Tell me how this made you feel. And by just sitting there and listening and not leaping to my own defense, whilst also, you know, like, being able to say, you know, I can make concessions, or I can do things differently. I didn't do anything wrong. And I didn't have to say that. You know, it's like, right. I don't have to say I didn't do anything wrong. I know that I didn't do anything wrong. But I also know that this person was hurt. And it's like, the two things can be true.
Yep.
And then, you know, you hold that by listening to the other person and figuring out, like, okay, let's listen to that hurt, and let's, you know, it's the stuff we've talked about before. It's connecting on. And the big thing for me that I'm working with at the moment and sort of appreciating is the idea of experience being something that you can't argue with. Mm-hmm. You can't argue with someone's experience. Mm-hmm. You can argue with other things, but like, if someone experienced a particular thing, well, that's what they experienced.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's up to you then. If you did something that they experienced, in a different way from what you intended, then that's the discussion that you're having. It's like, but if you go in and saying that didn't happen, it's like, no, that was my experience. Just because right. you didn't see this particular thing happen, or it didn't happen in the way you thought about it.
Or to you.
It's still, this is the experience.
Yeah.
And it's really useful to be aware of that. And
yeah.
My God, emotional maturity. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a thing, isn't it?
It is.
And it's something that I think I am going to credit myself with.
I credit you as well.
And
at some point,
you.
At some yes. point, your camera kind of turned on this vignetting.
Ooh.
And
I turned down the brightness because my face was all bleached out.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, there's a bit of shadow at the bottom here. So yeah, it kind of. I don't know where the shadows come from. But also my t-shirt looks kind of shiny because of strobing, and it's not shiny. It's just a fabric. It kind of looks a bit like shiny, but it's just the strobing of the pattern. And also it looks like it's stained a lot, but I don't intend for that.
My shirt is stained.
Oh, look, it is.
It is. I was mixing some fennel, carrots and onion in olive oil and vinegar, and one of the fennels just popped right out of the bowl onto my belly.
Onto your belly.
As I was stirring roasted fennel. Yum.
Yes. Yeah, I've done, I think it was lamb and fennel pasta thing or something, and it was real good. Yesterday I made a delicious, like, I just had this in my head kind of concoction of like I wanted a really fresh kind of pasta dish that was like not too heavy and just, you know, sort of vibrant and stuff. And so like got some spaghetti and some chicken thighs, some peppers, a load of edamame beans, pesto, and kind of mushed it all together. I might have had something else in there as well. Sun-dried tomatoes. So cooking stuff in the sun-dried tomato oil.
Yeah.
That was it. And then, oh my God, kind of mushed it all up. Bit of lemon. And I've got the rest of it today and I'm going to eat it cold and I can't wait.
Yummy.
Really looking forward to it because it was delicious. Real good.
I made a chicken katsu yesterday.
Hello.
Yesterday, the day before. And it was awesome. Just used a chicken breast pounded with my wonderful meat tenderizer.
With your garlic crusher.
My garlic press.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also a beautiful ice crusher. Like, it's great at getting a great kind of crunchy, thick texture of ice. It's great. But yeah, and then I dredged it in, I think it's called like Einhorn flour, something like that.
Okay.
Ein something flour. And then
pretty sure that was a character from Ace Ventura.
And then crushed, another use of the meat tenderizer, crushed pistachios instead of breadcrumbs.
Hello there.
And then I air fried it.
Yeah,
and
it
was fucking good, dude. Mm. It was fucking good. And I made a little katsu, spicy katsu sauce with some sugar-free ketchup and garlic chili sauce and soy sauce and delish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about making that fried chicken again and then serving it over waffles, because I just made these pancakes with that same flour, and I replaced replaced the milk that the recipe I had called for with water and extra eggs, and it was, and then I also used a slightly reduced amount of sugar, but still added some sugar in there, and a mixture of white sugar and brown sugar. And damn, those came out good. So I think they'd make really good waffles, and some chicken on top of that would be mighty good. Mighty good.
So the big work ahead for me now is I'm looking. So I'm away this weekend and then back on the Monday, and I was going through some stuff with ChatGPT, because I'm gonna be real with you. I'm gonna confess to you, I don't have the mental bandwidth to go full protocol just yet.
Oh, sure.
To go God mode, so I'm sort of easing myself in.
Hell yeah.
One of the things that so I gave ChatGPT a bunch of stuff, and one of the things that came back I was quite surprised with was, and I think I'll give it a go because I've done it before, was a fairly reduced eating window.
Mm.
So going from 11 till 7, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of very much in favor of, because breakfast sometimes is just a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because easy breakfast is not healthy breakfast.
Yep.
But easy breakfast is often tasty breakfast, but it's not healthy breakfast.
Yep.
I can't remember the last time I had breakfast cereals, but I used to love breakfast cereals.
I've been thinking about that too, man. God damn.
I sometimes walk holy across shit. Them in a supermarket aisle, and I'm like, oh my God, I would devour some of this shit.
There's a donut place here that I did not take you to, not just because it's donuts, but because it's like a super touristy place. It's like, sure. You go into Portland, you got to go to Voodoo Donuts.
And Yes.
But they serve donuts, and it's the donut and then the icing and then cereal is just on top. There's different types, like Cocoa Pops what's the marshmallow one?
Lucky Charms.
Crunch berries and all those things. And it's fucking good because it's fucking sugar. And
yeah.
Like, that's almost it.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So the big work to do now, and it's work that you've been doing, and, you know, it's the whole thing of how we soothe ourselves.
Yeah, man.
This is the thing.
Can I pause you on that for a second?
Please.
Why do we need to... Okay.
No. Go with that.
There could be many answers, but...
Yeah.
If we didn't have trauma from our childhood, if we didn't have things that affected us, why would we feel such a need to soothe ourselves so often?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
That, ipso facto, maybe we shouldn't minimize it. that's what I was...
Oh! Like. Okay, I like and I think that's one of the things that my guy has been inviting me to do in some ways is actually just not to minimize it, you know, he's caught me a couple of times where I use certain language about like treating myself or whatever, and he notices a certain sort of thing, and he's like, let's talk about that, because I don't know how what your experience has been like with therapy, but one of the things I don't know if it's interesting anyway, that I appreciate when my therapist is affected by something that I've said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty good at talking through that sometimes. He'll say, you know, and I can feel that in my body, and he will get angry on my behalf, and it's so richly validating. And you know, wonderful to have that stuff reflected back. It's so useful. So yeah, just valuable. Yeah, I don't know if that's something you've experienced.
A little bit. Typically, my therapists, and I can think of like four off the top of my head, get kind of fascinated with my story, and they're just like, "Wow, you've been through a lot." And that is typically, you know, it's multifaceted on my end, because I'm like, it's validating that maybe I shouldn't minimize this. Like, somebody is telling me that this is actually big T trauma, but then it's also feeding that little part of my ego that's like, ooh, I'm telling a good story that people like to hear, kind of thing. And that's not particularly helpful in the context of therapy. Like, that's not the point.
Yeah. One of the conversations we had very early on, and we every now and again return back to, is like trying to do it right, trying to do the session right, or even like, I remember him saying very early on, like, you don't have to entertain me. Like, because, you know, I would have turns of phrases or whatever. And it's like, sometimes I do that to entertain myself.
Yeah. For sure.
But, you know, sometimes I am sort of, I'm doing a bit, and, you know, he doesn't have the language of doing a bit, but like, he you know, he might just say, like, you don't have to do a tight five for me.
That's
not what this is for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel when I go into a therapy session, like I got to bring something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I often get told that I don't, and I can just be, I can just share, I can whatever. And that's great. I like the reminder, and it's still like, I know it's a process to mm-hmm. like, not only in the long term to uncover things, but even in just the session term, it's a process. You got to go through a process to be able to open up in the safe space. And like, I remember telling one of my therapists, like, can we have like an hour and a half session or a 2 hour session? Because like, it takes me, you know, 30, 40 minutes sure. to like get warm to up. The deep part. Mm. And then I'm like, we're finally in it. And then 10 minutes, and then it's done. And it's like whiplash, and I don't have any cool down time. And like, this is just, okay, I'm just going to crank, 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 open myself up. And then, I just got to go out into the real world. Like, fuck. Mm. So, yeah.
Was that ever met?
She talked to her supervisor about it, and it didn't ever happen, but I tried to just like get more vulnerable faster.
Oh, you just no. Try to
dig deep. It's like, okay, I know I'm going to get there. Let's just get there.
Yeah. Were yours in person or over Zoom or whatever?
Mostly in person, yeah. Sometimes yeah. My EMDR therapist was over Zoom, and it was incredibly helpful, but it was also, there's such a distance, you know, it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
How about you're in person, right?
Yeah. And so we had the Pando period. Yeah. And then when I did the BetterHelp thing, obviously that was Zoom. And yeah, it is a very different, it's a whole different ball game. And you know, one of the things that I appreciate is there's the liminal time. Like, so my guy comes down in a lift, and I wait by the lifts, and then we walk up, and usually, you know, sometimes there's a little remark or whatever, but usually it's kind of in silence, and there's a literal bridge, you know, an actual bridge that we walk across, which is just like, wow. You know, quite the symbolic thing. Yeah. And it's a glass bridge as well, which is fucking crazy. Yeah, it's a funky building. And then, you know, down a corridor and into a thing, and then we're there. And yeah, it's kind of nice to have that sort of liminal moment.
Yeah and I also like getting out of the house to do it.
Yeah I
remember very early on, Margaret and I did a couples therapy, a couple sessions, and it was over Zoom, and we were just like sitting upright in bed and with a laptop on our laps and cuddled together, and it was like nice, and you'd think it'd be like really comforting and really, you know, safe, but it kind of felt like plain, or like, yeah, we didn't have any liminal space that we walked through to get to a thing. It was just like, we're still at home in our bedroom, and there's this person that I can barely hear on the laptop. So it was, I highly vote for person in person. How's choir going?
So good.
Oh yeah. I love that.
I've got to be, there's the, I don't know, inner critic or whatever rearing up, but like, there's a sense that I've got to be careful or wary of or vigilant against being addicted to the praise.
Yeah, that won't stay forever, probably.
No, and that's part of the problem is like, I have to, because, and it's one of the things that actually sort of came up today, is like, explicit is always better than implicit. And I, you know, I often need explicit, like, assurance.
Sure.
Because I maybe didn't, anyway, in childhood, la, la, la.
Maximize.
Yeah, yes. Or at least let it take up the space that it's due. Doesn't have to take up all of the space, but it should at least take up some space. Yeah, so it's kind of, not being like too addicted to people telling me what a great time they're having and that it's wonderful and they're grateful for this existing.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be okay. I think I will be all right with that, because I think the thing that would make me sad is closing up the shop and then not going for a drink with the people afterwards.
Sure.
I think that is such a wonderful capper to the whole thing. It just it just caps off so nicely, and we have some really lovely conversations, and that's the human connection stuff. Because you know, the first 2 hours, really, it's me facilitating, and then the drinks afterwards are me being able to actually connect with these people myself and enjoy the camaraderie or whatever it is that they experience at the time. Yeah. Because, you know, I'm sort of there making sure that I don't fuck up the chords or whatever. And then I get to sort of sit and have a bask, you know, a bask in all of the, in all of the warmth. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's always going to be there, because that's a thing that, you know, the serotonin gets produced when you sing in a group. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as long as people are there, we can all just have that lovely glow of, oh,
yeah, man.
That was nice.
Then, so you've had three
sessions so far. Yeah.
People paying now?
Yeah. Yeah,
how's
they
that,
are.
How's that going?
Yeah, it's good, man. People they turned up and were ready to pay straight away. Yeah, I mean, like, mechanically, it's all very easy. Those that are ready to pay, bloop, contactless, done, move on.
Hell yeah.
And so, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, it was a different energy this time, and it's one of those things. Like, I'm learning about what I bring and making sure that, because, you know, people like us, I think, can be energy reflectors. And what sometimes we are called to be, like, sometimes we need to set the tone rather than let our tone be set by the average of the room. Like, actually, sometimes we need to be the person who sets the tone and actually just bumps up the energy a little bit. And so that's fine. Like, so the first half felt a little bit subdued, and we did a couple of the songs, and it was like, it was nice, but like, it just felt a bit, everybody sounds a little bit timid, and you know, we're not quite going into it. And then we had a break, and I think I was chatting away with someone, and then took a look at my watch. Okay, here's the time. Let's get back to it. And I just went, "Deo!"
Me said "Deo."
Exactly. And we all sort of got into it and just played around that way. So that brought the energy up. So I'm going to do, I want to compile, I've started compiling a list, but I haven't got enough of, like, I want to do some fun vocal warm-ups. The first one that we're going to do is Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
Fat bottom girls make the rockin' world go round.
Something that's like that. The one. Lord, you better take me home tonight. Lord, down beside that red firelight. Ah, it's good. And so we can get some harmonies going there. But the nice thing is, everybody's, you've got to sort of bring, you know, there's no like boom, boom, boom. Because I did, the first warm-up that I did last week was Lean On Me. And so for some of the people, they're just going dum, 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 dum. Whereas, dum, you know, dum, I'm trying dum, to dum, find dum. The ones that like everybody gets to explode.
This song is dum, dum. No.
Dum. Dum. And then the other one is Drift Away. Give me the beat, boys, free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll. Just drift away. So that will be a nice one, because we can also possibly get some people to do the, like, free my soul, you know, all that kind of business, and a bit of clapping and stuff. So that'll be a nice one to get us going. And then I was thinking, so that'll be like part one, so when people are coming in. And then part two, it's not that I overplan things, but part two, I'm just going to shout and see what happens to the room.
Let it all out.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. All you want to do is ride around, Sally. And see what people... Because some people know that one.
I love the idea of you just shouting out a thing and seeing if they...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, and I think I'm okay now with the fact that, like, either one or two people might get it, and then it's like, well, the nice thing about that is you just, I'm going to sing it again, and then you do what you just heard. And so, like, more people will do it. And, you know, that reminds me. I've got to do the Meanie the Moocher, right? I'm just writing that down. Meanie That's Moocher. The one that goes, hidey, hidey, hidey,
hidey, hidey,
hidey, hidey,
hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey, hid
skibbity boop, skibbity boop, skibbity doo. That was Cal. Oh, Cal something. He did that in the Blues Brothers.
Oh. I was thinking that was Baloo in the Jungle Book.
Oh, well, I'm the king of the swingers. Oh,
that's the one I thought you were singing.
No, sir. Oh, yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I want to be like you. Ooh, ooh. Yes, I see where you're going there. No, Minnie the Moocher is... Hey, folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a low-down hoochie-coocher. It's great.
That's a great voice you did there.
Thank you.
Very well done.
It's close but not exact to my Louis Armstrong.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I do a pretty good Louis Armstrong, but it's also kind of racist, so... Because, you know... Because the reason being, you sort of end up doing a little bit of the accent is what I mean. It's like...
Sure.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And then it's quite fun. It's not really racist, actually, when I think about it. Yeah, it's quite fun to do other songs in the Louis Armstrong style. It does a little bit feel like I'm doing vocal blackface, though. Like, I'm going to be honest with you.
That's not how black people sing. That's just how he sings.
Yes, true.
And he happens to be black.
Okay, all right. I will take that. Thank you.
You did an Italian accent earlier for spaghetti.
but they're not a race. I just yes.
I don't know.
That's fine. The one that pretty much is racist is, which I also enjoy doing, but not in public, is the crows from Dumbo.
Okay.
Because I think they were probably white, but they were definitely.
Not plain
not
white.
Meant to be. Yeah.
Does public include this podcast right here for now for me? Because I don't know what that sounded like.
Well, I've been dancing about everything when I see an elephant fly.
Well, you know, like, it's... We literally stole every type of music from black people anyway.
Yeah, popular music, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know what I mean. So,
well, no, there's lots and lots of music that we didn't steal. But yeah, when it comes to pop music, yes.
Right, yes. Yeah, rock and blues and...
Yeah.
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 Pop and... Well, if listener, if you were offended by any of that, convergencepod@icloud.com. And as always, I need you to remember, you only have one shot. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks!
What is this ending becoming?